let's face it, every when I'm standing up on the deck of a ship, every 2 minutes, 40 ton pretty much go over my head. And those cranes, they're not infallible. I've seen containers fall, and you don't want to be anywhere near them when they do, because it happens so quick. My name's Tom Dowling. I'm a stevedore, which is the technical term for waterside worker or wharfie. I'm 53 years old, so there's been a lot of water under the bridge, so to speak. I started off in a little country town called Kerrang. I grew up there, moved to Melbourne, joined the railways, was there for 7 years, and been on the waterfront for 29 years since then. My day-to-day job is I'm a foreman. So I basically tell the waterside workers where they're working for the day, which containers are coming off, what ship we're working on, and the expectations of how many containers we'll have for the day, that sort of thing. When I started there, it was 1989. A lot of our work was still manual, which meant going down into the hatch of a ship, so it would be just a big open hole and it would be full of products. It'd be full of pallets or machinery, or you'd have whole hatches full of sand, and you'd have another one over on the south wharf and would be full of cement dust. So we'd use, we called it the button. You'd sit there with a huge vacuum cleaner, basically. It's just a big 2 foot vacuum cleaner that's, you sat there and you just sucked all the dust out of the hatch of the ship. A ship would regularly sit at the berth, easily sit there for a week or two while we loaded and unloaded the ship. These days, the ships that we work in Melbourne basically holds 6,000 20-foot containers. We'll easily do 300 to 400 or easily do 300 containers on an 8-hour shift to one crane, and there's only 6 people operating it. Yeah, but basically the ships are there for usually no more than 24 hours. We're heading towards automation of the workforce, of the procedures down there. And we're probably one of the prime industries for that. Robots can do what we do. There's only a couple of basic jobs, like making sure a container is unlocked on a ship. But everything else can be done by a machine. When I started there, there were 2,000 to 3,000 waterside workers employed there. Now there's 600. It's the way it is. There's things that I like to say about my job that, you know, catchphrases, if you like, that over the years. One of the things I like to say is that what I've always loved about where I am is the camaraderie, is the people you work with. Every workplace has its niggles, and there's a blue every now and then, and someone doesn't like someone else. But it's a brotherhood. Whether they're in the union, whether they're not, whether they're male, female, crane driver, foreman, whatever, everyone understands what it's like to work on the waterfront. Everyone that is there is in the same boat. Yes, we all whinge about night shifts, and we all whinge about shift work, and we all whinge about not being paid enough money for the hours that we do, and no pay rises for years and that sort of thing. But all of that brings us together as a family, if you like, and I love it. I really do. I started doing shift work when I was 16. I like to tell people I hate it, but you don't do something for 35 years if you hate it. Well, most people don't. my favourite shift's always been afternoon shift. I get to sleep in a little bit if I can. If I'm lucky, I'll sleep until 7 or 7.30, which means I'll get 7 or 8 hours sleep. I have to admit, though, when I was married with small children, the afternoon shift stopped being my favourite for that period. Because you miss a lot of time at home, a lot of family time. That's another thing about the waterfront. I think we've got one of the highest divorce rates. The predominant or the main excuse reason we hear when people say, "Oh, my missus has left me," she hated being alone at night. And it happens a lot. It's what we do. I'm a divorcee. I was married for 22 years, 2 stepdaughters and a natural daughter, and now 4 grandkids. And it was great. It was a great period in my life. I loved it. I'm living the dream in the burbs in Narre Warren. I guess when kids all leave home and you're just the two of you, you realise that you've grown apart over the years, or whatever's happened. In our case, our lives were on different tracks. My new partner, Joan, I like to say she saved my life. After my divorce, I basically just sat at home. I sat there for 3 years, did nothing. Just sat on the computer, going to work and home, and that was basically it for me. And when we connected through, like most people these days, electronically, friends of friends on Facebook. And when we connected, it was just like a light came back on. I'm forever grateful. I get choked up when I talk about that too, because that's true. That's how I feel about it. I was doing nothing. I was just wasting. 22 years of marriage, and you know, I'm sitting here alone in my jocks. I don't know what I can say about her. She just brought me back out of my shell. She looks at the world a lot, or looks at the world a lot differently than I did. I was very, very set in my ways. You know, like I was a working man and providing for the family and doing all that. Didn't really think too much about the wider world. I think together we've started thinking about the wider world and realised just how screwed up it is, but wanting to do something about it. And yeah, I'm a romantic. I've asked her to marry me about 4 times now. And yeah, we'll get there eventually one day. My interest in photography, funnily enough, started at school when I was about 12 or 13. I joined the camera club just to get out of maths. Loved it there, but we didn't have a lot of money and I didn't have a camera at home. So when school petered out, photography disappeared. When digital cameras came along, I bought a digital camera and always took photos, you know, of the moon or mountains or pigeons sometimes. And we were in Thailand about 5 years ago. And then I was taking photos over there and taking photos when we got back to Melbourne. And my partner, Joan, said to me, she said one day, she said, "How come you don't take photos of people?" And the honest answer was, I didn't know how. I said, "I don't know how. It's completely different. Mountains don't move. People do. I wouldn't know how to pose them, what looks good, and lighting, any of that sort of stuff." So for Father's Day, my birthday, and for Christmas that year, she bought me workshops with a photographer, and it just started ballooning from there. I just fell in love with it. You know, I'm taking photos of people and getting to know them, and it's all about connecting as well, rather than just, you know, you don't just take a photo of someone. You get to know them and you take a photo of that personality. That's the way I look at it. I've always been really I've always thought of myself as very artistic, but I haven't got an artistic bone in my body. But when I found photography, I realised you can express yourself on so many different levels in lighting and mood. And as I say, you're capturing people's personalities, not just their face, not just their eyes, but you can actually see into their soul if you take a photo properly. And through studying and looking at other people's photography, you realise just how deep down the rabbit hole you can go with that. I don't really have a set philosophy on life, but you've got to keep active. You've got to keep your mind ticking over, and your body to a certain extent. But this eat, sleep, work, eat, sleep, work, and on weekends maybe watch a movie or play the PlayStation, whatever. That doesn't work for me. You've got to keep yourself active. Here I go. I'm getting really deep and meaningful now. But we're only here for a certain amount of years in this formation, if you like. Don't waste it sitting on the couch. Get out there and do stuff. Pigeon racing, BMX racing, play tennis, take up photography, take up scuba diving, do something, do up a car and get out there and, you know, every night and drive it around and show it off to your mates. It's whatever your interest is, put yourself into it. Yeah, sitting on the couch is not much fun.